Welcome to the Butte Report, a weekly program reporting on and analyzing issues that affect our lives and our livelihood by focusing on local government, including the Board of Supervisors, the various municipalities, and even school districts and water districts within Butte County. I'm your host, Sue Hildebrand. The Butte Report is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Sativa Art Glass Studio, creating art glass since 1977. Due to virus safety, the gallery is closed till restrictions are lifted. Online orders and information available at sativa.com. Tonight we'll cover the Oroville City Council, the Butte County Water Commission, and the Chico City Council. We'll also hear from Oroville City Council Member-elect Chrissy Riggs and Gridley City Council Member-elect Catalina Sanchez. City Council meeting this week, the council discussed the city's utility user tax that currently taxes all electrical, gas, and water at a rate of 5%. It also taxes telephone and cable at 4.5%. This tax generates about $1.8 million in revenue annually. The money generated by the tax is being used to fund a portion of each city department. After a lengthy discussion ranging from eliminating the tax to offering rebates to seniors and people with low income, the council directed staff to bring back estimates on how a rebate program would impact the city's overall budget. Just outside the council meeting, a second protest in as many meetings was taking place, organized by the Oroville Southside Community Improvement Association. Director of the association, Pastor Kevin Thompson, is concerned about emails between city staff that indicate the city of Oroville's interest in taking over the Southside Community Center, possibly to be used for city administration. A federal grant for $1.5 million originally helped build the center, with the requirement that the center remain in the county's possession for 20 years. That 20 years ends in May of 2021. The Southside Community Center serves the 2,000 residents of Southside Oroville. The issue has not yet been agendized for public discussion. The next meeting of the Oroville City Council is scheduled for December 15th at 4:30 in the afternoon. Thank you. The incoming Oroville City Council member Chrissy Riggs will be sworn in on January 5th. She'll be replacing Linda Draper on the council. Linda Draper did not run for re-election. I spoke with Chrissy Riggs earlier this week and started by congratulating her on her victory.
Well, thank you, Sue. I'm really excited for this opportunity to serve our community in this really unique way. I think one of the biggest issues in Oroville is really just bringing our community behind a shared vision. So Oroville's in a really unique position where we've finally recovered from being financially unstable to now being more stable as far as the city's budget goes. Of course, that's always at risk, especially with the pandemic, but Oroville's looking financially pretty healthy right now, and it hasn't been that way for a number of years. So I think that's what's really important right now is recognizing the opportunity that we have to set a shared vision and to set some really achievable goals so that we could move forward with the momentum that we have and not get caught up on side projects or things that are a part of the big picture of what would really make Oroville a great place to call home.
And what is in that vision as you see it?
I think that as I see it, some of the things that we really need to invest in, of course, public safety is always a top priority. But really, I believe that we need to help create a culture within Oroville that really uplifts our natural assets. So we have beautiful lakes, rivers, a plenty of outdoor activity and outdoor environment. I think that as a community, we need to really embrace those and develop those to make those assets in our community. For example, we have a river that runs right alongside our downtown area. There has been some progress over the past year, really, in order to make improvements to that river so that it's more accessible to our community members, so it's something that community members can enjoy, especially throughout the long summer. I think that there's just a lot of potential there, which would also bring an influx of individuals, visitors, and locals into our downtown area and help uplift the small businesses in our community.
And you have a very strong background in supporting local businesses. Talk about what is part of what you think is going to help the small businesses in Oroville.
So part of my background is I'm the treasurer of the Downtown Oroville Business Association. I help organize the Downtown Oroville Business Association into a business improvement district, which has really changed the environment downtown. So I think some things that are really important that we need to focus on in order to support our small businesses is encouraging people to shop local, encouraging our business owners, you know, at this time make continued pivots and changes as they're sent down from the state or from the county, and really just supporting our business owners to ensure that they have all of the tools and support needed in order to continue their business operations and even grow those.
And Oroville has really the cutest little downtown, and I'm always surprised there aren't more people simply walking around downtown, and I imagine that's getting people down there is part of your long-term strategy. I have noticed over the last few years more people having dinner down there. I'm seeing more restaurants opening. Mm-hmm. Where did that come from, and how do you see your participation on the city council helping to build that momentum to really revitalize downtown Oroville?
I love that you said that. I feel like so many people outside of our area are beginning to recognize downtown Oroville for the really unique treasure and gem that it is. We have so many great boutique shops, and we have a rising restaurant area and lots of really special services that really make a unique culture in our downtown area. And yeah, what you've said is true. We do need to continue to work on bringing customers downtown. The Downtown Oroville Business Association focuses on that a lot through marketing events and marketing campaigns. So just recently we did our Christmas preview, and that was, we were really fortunate since the Christmas preview was primarily an outdoor event. We were still able to host it, but that really made people remember and recognize the gem that our local businesses are. So I think especially during quarantine, so many of us have been stuck in the walls of our own home, but being able to get out and see the business owners and see community leaders in our downtown area is one of the really unique things that happened recently. For me, as a council member, I think really bridging the gap and creating a shared vision between the city and downtown Oroville. So I know I talk about vision a lot, and I already have, but creating a shared vision for our downtown, because if those two organizations aren't able to work harmoniously together, then we'll work against each other. So that's something that's already started to happen. The city of Oroville has been a really great partner in revitalizing downtown and has been a great partner with the Downtown Oroville Business Association. So I think strengthening that will be really valuable in order to ensure the continued growth and success that we're seeing in our downtown district.
And if you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Butte Report. I have newly elected Oroville City Council member Chrissy Riggs will be sworn in January. So you've talked about the vision, and there are a lot of exciting things that are happening in Oroville, particularly downtown Oroville, but there are some real problems that exist. And I don't want to ask you too deep of a question because, you know, you were just elected and now the work really begins. But talk about for a minute, Oroville has similar problems that Chico does, you know, this widespread homelessness, and there's poverty issues, and of course there are addiction issues. And so how does that fit in with the work that you see ahead of you?
So I have a really strong value in prevention. My career background is working with teens in prevention programs. So for me, I really believe that we as a community need to continue to focus on prevention and early intervention programs. So the research shows that when you spend a dollar on a prevention or early intervention program, it has a return of about $10 saved from the drop-in needs for later services. So I really believe that those prevention, early intervention techniques are needed. On the flip side, for the individuals who are transient or unhoused or experiencing addiction issues, really we need to focus all of our current resources to come together, work alongside each other, each take responsibility for their piece of the pie, and see how as a group we're moving forward on issues instead of working in silos or individually. So that's something that I would really like to see with especially our nonprofit organizations and our government organizations, having a really strong network where they're able to cross-support each other, recognize what each other's doing and what each program's value is, and provide the proper case management in order to help get these people out of the situations they are in. I know that many residents in Chico and in Oroville and really across our whole state are really frustrated with the current transient situation. And for some, that's frustration because of the inconvenience for them. And for others, it's frustration because of the heartache that they're seeing in these people. But really, when we're able to uplift others, we really uplift everybody. So that's something that I believe by working together, something that we can make progress on.
So newly elected but not yet sworn into Oroville City Council, Chrissy Riggs, I certainly wish you well.
Thank you.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Butte Report on KZFR Radio. We'll be right back with more news and information about your local government. Butte County Water Commission meeting yesterday, Paul Goslin, the county's Director of Water and Resource Conservation, updated the commission on PG&E's plan to repair the Upper Miocene Canal, which was destroyed in the campfire. Goslin reported that PG&E has received bids to install steel pipes to deliver the water, with costs falling within PG&E's budget of $15 million. The project may even be completed next year. Turning now to South County, on Monday, December 7th, the Gridley City Council will add 3 new members to the 5-member council. One of those members is Catalina Sanchez. Catalina Sanchez works as a lobbyist in Sacramento, and she, along with Angel Calderon, will be the first Latinos to be elected to the Gridley City Council. Earlier this week, I met up with the council member-elect, and I started by asking her what it meant to her to be the first Latina to be elected to the city council.
It makes me feel very honored, and in a sense, there is validation in that. You know, I thought that the main issue would have been me being a woman running for city council, but being elected, you know, as the first Latina to the city council, it hasn't given me a lot of sense of trust for my community. And I want to make sure that as I move forward in my term, that I continue to respect and honor that. You know, representation does in fact matter. And this should not be the first, nor definitely the last time that our community has a government that is more reflective of everyone that lives and thrives there. And of course, you know, we want to make sure that we do acknowledge there have been 2 other Latinos that have been previously appointed. This is the first time that 2 Latinos will be elected. The former Vice Mayor Pedro Mota and the current council member Zach Torres both have served our community. And I believe, like I said, I think this is only just a further good step in the right direction, and that for the Latinos, we're being represented in these government decision seats. But also, you know, I think there are other people in our community. We have more diversity, and I believe that those seats should also be occupied by our community that is more reflective of that diversity.
Catalina Sanchez, as you move forward to becoming a council member, what do you see as the biggest issues that are facing Gridley right now?
Yeah, the 2 biggest issues that I see facing Gridley at the moment, obviously with COVID-19, we are facing, you know, a lot of our small businesses, working families are beginning to struggle and have struggled the last couple of months. So that will be one priority, is what can we do to provide local-based jobs or job training to prepare a workforce that will be ready to help supply any new jobs, or once our economy starts to stabilize a little bit more or more preventative measures are in place that will help slow the spread and the surges that we continue to see going up and down. So again, jobs. And also just affordability. So that ties into the utility costs. Do we have local-based jobs?
So I know one of the reasons that you are running, as you mentioned, the affordability and the increase in utilities. I know that was one of the planks on your platform. Are you ready to talk about how you'd like to handle that?
I think right now I'm still looking into the issue more concretely. And obviously not until after December 7th. I look forward to speaking more with our city government officials, with our city employees, to see what exactly can we do, what is going on, and what is being done to help look further into this issue.
Catalina Sanchez, Gridley City Council member-elect, you're going to be sworn in next Monday. You are a lobbyist, and I know that your company, your lobbying firm, works with nonprofits down in Sacramento. Talk about how your experience in Sacramento may help Gridley.
Yes, and also previously to being a lobbyist, I did work inside the Capitol as a legislative assistant in the State Assembly and State Senate. So combined with that experience, I believe that I can offer a lot of unique information into how government decisions are made at a state level. And I want to be able to bring more of our localities, including the county and especially the city of Gridley, to that negotiating table. You know, I think oftentimes people feel that they can't participate, that they're already forgotten, and that is absolutely not the case. It is our job as local officials, as local communities, to continue to organize together, to come together on important issues and advocate for ourselves. And I want to be able to leverage what I've learned in Sacramento to share that with my community, to share that with my government colleagues that I look forward to working with, and having these conversations as to what does our community need and how can I share my inner knowledge of Sacramento politics with the communities of Butte County.
And if you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Butte Report. I have Gridley City Council member-elect Catalina Sanchez on the phone. She will be sworn in on Monday. Catalina, I know that a big issue for you is to have the community participate more in the process. And I know you've said many times that you want your constituents to feel like they've been heard. Do you see any opportunities at this point on how you get people more involved?
Yes, I think there is always opportunity to get our community involved and to continue to build and fortify that connection that our government officials have with their constituents. And more than ever, that's very imperative at this time with our communities facing a global pandemic. You know, our small businesses and local stores are continuing to have to adapt to public health guidelines. And also, we just want to be able to see what can we do to help everyone thrive in our community. And so if that entails, you know, our government officials being more in communication, being active on social media, being active in city council meetings and asking those tough questions, then we need to provide and seek any opportunities to be visible and to engage with our constituents mm-hmm. and the community.
And here's my last question for you. How are you preparing? This is the first time you've run for office and you won, which most people do not win the first time. So it's another exciting part. How are you now preparing to take on that role?
Yeah, so I've been preparing a little bit differently. I think, you know, I've worked on staff. I've worked, you know, lobbying electeds. And so now to be in the seat where these decisions are made, it definitely entails more work on my part to prepare, to read budgets, to read city planning agreements, to learn more about the nonprofit organizations and any community associations that have a stake in our community, and finding out, you know, what are their concerns, what are their needs, and also just being fully more aware of what exactly is facing our community in terms of economic problems, any social problems, and also how can we better help lift our youth in the community.
Catalina Sanchez, one of the newest members on the Gridley City Council, I really appreciate your time today, and I certainly wish you well. I know that Gridley is in good hands.
Thank you so much.
This is the Butte Report on KZFR Radio 90.1 FM. When we come back, we'll talk about what's on the agenda for the Chico City Council next Tuesday. We'll also talk about some of the other meetings that are coming up next week in Butte County. The Chico City Council normally meets the first and third Tuesdays of each month, but because of delays in the county certifying the election results and the law requiring at least 72 hours between certification and swearing in of new council members, this week's council meeting was postponed 1 week. Next Tuesday's agenda includes the swearing in of the three new members and choosing the mayor. The last time conservatives held the majority on the Chico City Council, Sean Morgan was mayor. Another agenda item, the introduction and first reading of an ordinance adding to the Chico Municipal Code authorizing the police department to impound vehicles used in the commission or attempted commission of crimes related to prostitution or unlawful dumping. There will also be a discussion of a winter shelter for unsheltered people. Currently, there are no low-barrier shelters within the city of Chico. Looking forward towards next week, on Monday, December 7th, starting at 6 p.m., is the Gridley City Council meeting, which meets at 685 Kentucky Street in Gridley. On Tuesday, December 8th, starting at 9 a.m., Butte County Board of Supervisors will meet at 25 County Center Drive, Suite 205 in Oroville. Also on Tuesday, starting at 6:30 p.m., the Biggs City Council will meet at 3016 6th Street in Biggs. The Butte Report is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Members First Credit Union, created by the community for the community. Members First is a member-owned, not-for-profit financial institution providing checking, savings, loans, and credit cards to residents of Butte, Glen, Shasta, and Tehama counties. For more information, visit m1cu.org. All of the music in this edition of the Butte Report came from bensound.com. Remember, the most important aspect of democracy is an informed citizenry. Tune in again next week and stay informed about what your government is up to. And if you have a tip, send an email to sue, S-U-E, at kzfr.org.